Improvise.
Musical.
Comedy.
What are the words?
Making up as you go along.
Do you know what you're talking about?
Rhyming.
Choruses.
Verses.
Bridges.
It's words. It's music.
Sing it. It's musical sometimes.
Okay, let's see if I'm talking. Right then, guys. This is the first Sunday morning psychedelic singing experiment.
Okay, so let's start exactly the same way. we're all going to breathe out, and then we're going to breathe in, and then we start. There you go, so everyone breathe out. Breathe in through the nose. Let's go.
Musical Improv Comedy Podcast.
It's been a long time. We've been going away and exploring lots of different ideas, slightly away from the musical improv comedy we've done before.
We have indeed. And what today's podcast is about is an experiment we did called Heather and Joe's Psychedelic Sunday Singing Experiment.
That's right. So yes, we got lots of people along, and deliberately we set it up as an experiment. So we didn't really tell people, given any rules as such.
What we said in the end was, the only rules are that you must be making musical sound with your voice mm-hmm. for an hour,
mm-hmm.
and that we'd not stop and talk about what we're doing at any point.
Yeah.
Sort of moving in and out of people's comfort zone.
Yeah.
But we wanted to sort of push beyond that point, I think, didn't we? And make sure that we carried on through the point of pain.
Exactly. It was more to find... It was as much to find out what happens in that situation as sort of trying to reach a certain state of mind or group mind or anything like that. But I was quite surprised that many of the ideas that became really solid came from one very firm offer.
What, a load of hippies?
Yeah.
Interesting, because I felt like that was a sort of self-reverential moment of taking a piss out of ourselves.
Maybe it was a necessary stage to
go
through.
Yeah, it's like, let's get through the fact that we're all hippies.
Yeah,
and then we can get on.
And we can enjoy ourselves. Sometimes it might be a snippet of a song, like Let the Sunshine In was offered at one point, and it didn't take off as a song, but the sort of residual sunshine, Sunday, that got taken up.
I think the thing we were both surprised at, because we talked about it, didn't we, on Sunday straight afterwards, yeah, that we expected it to be this kind of dreamy musical thing.
Sort of semi-spiritual journey.
But it ended up being incredibly tribal sounding.
Yeah.
So there's quite a lot of sections where it's almost like chanting.
Whooping, clapping.
Clapping, clicking fingers.
Stamping feet.
And we weren't expecting that at all.
No, I wasn't expecting that at all. The music to keep returning to this one chord and scale in that chord, and also to a rhythm which is going on.
This is something we should maybe experiment
with,
is whether or not I feel sure we'd find a different chord and a different rhythm, but whether we'd have the same phenomenon of kind of getting stuck in one chord, if you like, in one rhythm.
I don't know about the chord, but I think that rhythm might well crop up a lot of times that you do this.
But culturally?
Yeah, that rhythm is prevalent in a lot of tribal music. Dun, 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 short,
that's
short, long.
Interesting, because when I said culturally, I was thinking that it had a sort of marching band feel about it.
Well, it's
pa-rum, pum, pum, pa-rum, pum, pum.
Da-da. But this is quite specific. Dun, dun, dun. So it's putting a music into four. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. It's like marching band as well. Renaissance music, Henry VIII music, that kind of, that's got that rhythm in it as well.
Fascinating.
Da, 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 a little bit faster. So maybe we've uncovered the rhythm of the ancients.
Well, we're definitely going to have to do it again just to find out if that happens.
Exactly.
Again.
And also a scale. I mean, the thing is, we're all the people in that room are involved in Western culture. And so we all have a sort of programmed set of sounds that we find acceptable. And if you were to do this in Indonesia, for example, or China or India, I'm quite sure that would be different.
So let's talk specifically about some of the moments that happened, because another thing that surprised us is that the 45 minutes or so we were doing it, it definitely had a feeling of scenes and themes,
yes,
and things happening.
It certainly did, and things exploding out of nowhere and then dissipating fairly quickly. First one I can really think of is the farmyard. So the farmyard, from listening back to it, came out of one person doing a sort of whooping noise.
Arriba!
what I really liked about it is it wasn't someone being an animal and saying, let's do funny stuff about being animals. It came out of a feeling of a noise that sounded like something maybe a shepherd would do in a foreign country.
Yeah, it was basically a real kind of atmospheric thing. Mm. And up until that point that we'd been doing it, that was the first time that I felt like it really was incredibly atmospheric, rhythmical, and everyone was contributing to the shared sound, but with individual offers. Up until then, we'd had group moments where people had been maybe singing, you know, a chord of the same words, or kind of individual offers, but they kind of clashed.
Yeah. So this was, we had some people being animals, and that was quite funny. We had some people providing the background, keeping the chord and the rhythm going.
Yeah.
And we had some people doing sound effects, like whistling and whooping.
Clapping.
And all that kind of stuff. Clapping. So, yeah, you're right. Everyone contributed, and it was a real soundscape. And there were cows and chickens and
ducks and cats. That was the first point where I lost it, though, as well. Like, as, even though it was the first sort of, my first favourite bit, it was the first time when I lost it, when I just looked over at Harry puckering and he was sitting in a chair doing this really loud mooing sound. And I just thought, what has my life become? You know, those out-of-body moments.
Yeah.
You just look at yourself and go, this is...
That was not the right place to have an out-of-body moment.
No.
No.
I got over it, though, but I'm sure people went in and out of those the whole time.
I'm sure they did. And then the farmyard sort of died down and went pretty much straight into a train thing, which just came from a sort of a sibilant sound. A subs, was it sub sub? Sub sub sub.
No, it was, no, hang on, it was shom.
Shom. I do find it interesting how these soundscapes came out of a group improvised session, but obviously end up sounding quite like something that's contrived and composed.
Yeah, I mean, it occurred to me actually earlier on, because I've been doing a bit of filmed improvisation recently, which is that if you're making something for a performance on stage using improvisation, you have to kind of shortcut to your edit points and things like that. With something like this that's truly experimental and with film, it's amazing how much kind of waffle and crap you can come up with recently. But out of that hour, you know, we'll hear on this recording, there's a few moments of real beauty.
Thank you.
it could be a way of composing. I mean, I think the way we approached it was like the experiential thing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily be interested in recreating it.
No.
I don't think we could, but as something to like listen to as a composition, I think it's really great.
That brings us on to this interesting thing that Julia Knight drew my attention to that I remember studying at university but had since completely forgotten, which is a piece called The Great Learning by Cornelius Kaji. The instructions to the singers are quite similar to the instructions we gave our people who turned up. I'll just read a bit of it out.
Please do.
It says, each chorus member chooses his own note silently for the first line, and there's some words from Confucius, if the root be in confusion, nothing will be well governed, and so on. All enter together on the leader's signal. For each subsequent line, choose a note that you can hear being sung by a colleague. It may be necessary to move within earshot of certain notes. The note, once chosen, must be carefully retained. Time may be taken over the choice. If there is no note, or only the note you have just been singing, or only a note or notes that you are unable to sing, choose your note for the next line freely. Do not sing the same note on two consecutive lines, and so on. So, huge improvised aspect to this piece. It's not composed in the sense that traditional music is composed. And it was a big movement in the 60s with graphic scores where people would just write these so-called scores, which is the written music, but in an unconventional way. So it might just have lines and dots and squiggles and things, and it's up to the performer to interpret it in whatever way they want. And it's improvisation within boundaries.
Which, again, is something I think... because so many things came out of this experiment.
Yeah.
There's so many different directions I think we're now going to try and take it. We can take it more musically, we can take it more scenically, more rhythmically.
Yeah.
But for a kind of... it was pretty amazing the fact that we didn't say anything and we actually kind of hit on everything.
Yeah.
We hit on all those different flavours, really.
We did, and it's... You can't really have improvisation without any structure or boundaries.
No.
By the very fact that we wouldn't have all ended up in the same room knowing what we were doing.
And I think if we'd said to people, do anything, we might not have sung.
No.
I don't know, maybe. So, we've finally seen the scenescape things, and the train ended hilariously, as I hope we can play a little snippet of that now, which is a kind of... somebody threw themselves on the track and was sweeping.
Yes.
We found this beautiful song with the words "Wake up, it's a beautiful day." And as you said earlier on when we were listening to it, what's amazing is it feels like it comes from nowhere in the recording.
Mm.
Even at the point when it's audible, there are five people singing.
Yeah. Who study improvisation, these are the moments that excite us more than anything else.
Yeah.
When something is discovered and emerges from the bubble, the bubbling mass of, you know, something might be misheard or slightly exaggerated, and it's like chaos theory, really, isn't it? It produces patterns, and when you trace them back, you can't really find out where they came from.
It's interesting because, again, I don't know whether... because I've been improvising for a long time, you know, I go through various themes of things that keep coming up. But mm-hmm. something that's come up a lot for me lately is the idea of discovery versus invention.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always, you know, I prefer discovery over invention. But yeah. I also recognise that when you're improvising a scene or a song, if you have nothing, then a little bit of invention is necessary in order to then discover more.
Yeah.
And this workshop I was doing recently, I was talking about closing the gap between discovery and invention.
Mm.
So that you might be doing one or the other, but it's imperceptible to either the audience or the other improvisers around you. And I think when you get more skilled at things, it's like a leader in a scene or a follower in a scene.
Yeah.
It's like these things become imperceptible because they're constantly interchanging.
Mm.
And I feel like there's a big theme in this music because it was so obvious when things were being invented.
Yes.
And they jarred.
Yeah, absolutely. And they might then turn into discoveries built upon that invention. But when the original idea is so clearly contrived, it doesn't fit right with me.
And now we've just got to talk about the false endings, because they are hilariously funny.
Oh, my goodness. So, the wake-up... It's a beautiful day. Then drifted down to what to most people seemed like was going to be the end. So, I was assuming that the sounds were going to peter out, there was going to be silence for 2 or 3 seconds, and then we were going to be like, hey, we're finished. But no, things emerged out of... You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of quantum physics.
Because, that's it?
Yeah. Because the theory goes that when you get down to a super, super tiny quantum level of smallness... there's this random bubbly movement in everything, and that every now and again it pops a little atom into being, or a matter and antimatter, and something, and then they disappear again. So matter can be created out of just the white noise.
Very interesting.
And this is the same, it's sort of bubbled into white noise, but then this little thing would just pop up into existence. Again, so,
well, the thing that did end up popping up, that turned into the next section, was hilarious. If we can hear that.
Yes, let's.
There was a lot of moments which hopefully we will have heard through this podcast, which are quite beautiful or experimental. But I have to say, I think that might have been my moment of pure joy.
Yeah.
Because it was just so fun to see what was Jaws turning into Andy Williams.
Yeah.
And everyone just going for it.
Yeah. And that was not someone just coming in and singing, I love you, baby. It came from this tiny, tiny little offer. Two notes.
If you hear it as well, like, duh, 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 and then the chorus comes, and then someone says, I think I love you, baby.
Yeah.
As a joke.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, it just
goes.
Everyone knows that is what we're going to say.
And then, like, the third or fourth time round, everyone's in on it.
Yeah.
Apart from the people who didn't know the words, like myself.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Really. And so we had all of that. And then that bubbled down, and again, we reached a very similar point where almost nothing has happened. I was looking at you, and then Jason Buckley turned around to me and went... and I was sort of, at that point, I was like, right, that's definitely an offer for something new. So I ignored it.
That bit to me, that final section, feels like a kind of... experimental jazz beat poetry thing,
yeah.
Returning to the train thing.
Yeah. And it bubbled along really nicely, actually. It turned in... I really enjoyed it. And in the end, it took for someone that wasn't us, James, to end it. And he ended it by stepping forward and doing a sweep with his arms, and that was the last note. The last chord.
Do you reckon that's because he just could not take any more?
Quite possibly. So I was glad that happened because I hadn't manufactured that moment. And then we all cheered and whooped.
Also, actually, we should say thank you to 20 people who came out at 9:30 on a Sunday morning. You're all mental and we love you.
I think we might have lost everyone's trust forever. Next time we'll say, OK, it's Heather and Joe's Psychedelic Sing-Along 2. And there'll be like one person.
No, nothing. Yeah. Especially the people that didn't come to the last one are currently under the impression that it was really cool and fun.
Yeah, that's true.
And then hear this podcast.
Yeah. So I would personally like to try removing every distraction apart from singing and listening.
So if anyone's up for it...
Yeah. Do you think that's going to be the next one?
Yeah.
Sing along in the dark.
In a dark room on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
With no words, no eye contact.
No.
Thank you for listening.
Yes, very much so.
We hope you enjoyed the weirdness as much as we did.
Yes.
And we'll be very grateful for any comments and thoughts.
Comments, suggestions, and also anything you might know about this sort of thing being done before.
And I think when we say this sort of thing, I think what we're interested in at the moment is improvised group singing.
Yes.
And the final aim as well is that there's a choir, Maggie was telling us, that is 20,000 strong and get together once a year to do a
we
piece.
We still have to do that.
So if anyone out there is involved and knows, eventually Joe and I are going to get 20,000 people doing an improvised song together.
That would be a Guinness World Record.
Yeah, and we have to have one of those.
Yeah, we've got to have one of them. Okay, so thanks for listening.
You can email us at openyourmouthandsing.com.
And you can visit our website, which is www.musicalimprovcomedy.co.uk.
Thanks for listening.
Bye. Even before language, if you wanted to communicate the fact that you knew each other or that you liked each other, you'd make a nice sound together.
Ooh.
Ah. Not like that.
Ooh.
Heather and Joe's Sunday Psychedelic Sing-Along. So it's a good job we weren't around then. We'd have been ostracised.
We hated each other. We were really cast out for harmonising.
So.